Okay, welcome everyone. It's good to be learning together. I will remind you, God willing, at the end of Shir, but just in case I forget, I'm stating on the record that, God willing, next week, Marissa and I will be on vacation the whole entire week, including Thursday and Shabbos. So, Shir is to be determined. I would like to say that I'll be able to find time to give our regular Thursday shear, but it depends on where I will find myself on Thursday. I think, God willing, I'll have enough time to prepare it in advance. I don't see why not. But just a heads up, I'll probably send an email Wednesday evening or Thursday morning letting you know what the maskana is. Okay. So it's to be determined right now. But then afterwards, we're back to regular Gemara learning. So without any further ado, we find ourselves on Yud Tes Amid Aleph on 19a. So welcome, Gloria, Judd, Henry, and Erwin. So we're on Yud Tes Amid Aleph on 19a. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it because when you look at the time, actually, Mincha is at 7:50. Erwin, you could correct me if I'm wrong on that, is at 7:50 today. So our time is progressively getting shorter. I think once we hit September, maybe even earlier, we'll have to shift the time. So if we have time at the end, I want to explore a question that's actually connected to next week's Gemara, but it's a bit of a longer piece, so I wanted to split it up. A very interesting question Rav Zilberstein asks is Rav Shehichri Shechol HaMakim Chazak Bahaman in about Kori Motzi Amidecho. I wish Toby was here because Toby and I, we usually, we have different. Oh, wow. Literally, I invoked her name and she logged on. Toby, hi, welcome. I just mentioned your name because there was something I wanted to share that I thought you'd appreciate. And then all of a sudden, you appeared. I called and you appeared. So this is the piece that I wanted to share. We're not going to really address it in depth right now. It's connected more to next week's Gemara, but I'm going to bring up the question now to whet everyone's appetite. The case where Zilberstein brings up is, let's say, Rav Shehichris, Shechol HaMakim Chazak Bahaman, Ena Bakori Motzim Nechova. Basically, it was a shul where everyone went crazy banging during Haman. And so the question was, the rabbi made a declaration. This isn't a made-up case, by the way. This happened in Yeshiva in Gateshead. That's like the Lakewood in England. So it happened in Gateshead, where one of the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't identify him by name, but I guess you could look it up. He declared anyone who bangs excessively during Haman, I'm instructing the Baal Koreh not to be motzi them, not to include them in the laning. And so the question is, though, when you look at the Ramah in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Aleph, the Ramah tells us that if a Baal Koreh only wants to be motzi, the people he likes in the congregation, and not include the people who he's sone, who he dislikes, then nobody is yotze. That doesn't work at all. So the question is this considered an analogous case or not? And God willing, if we have time this week, not this week, then next week, we will address that. But I said, like, I'd be remiss if I shared this question. And I know we all.
I won't be on this chair the next 2 weeks because I'll be in Iceland. So,
Wow. Okay. Okay.
how
Remarkable.
do you feel, by the way?
I feel good. Thanks for asking. God willing, we'll be in shul with a mask on for Shabbos. Okay. So anyway, let's get to today's program. We are on Yud Testament Aleph on 19a. We're at the Mishnah, so that should be easy to identify. The Mishnah has a Reisha and a Seifa, two distinct halachos. Halacha number one, Ben Ir Shahalach Likrach. If you have some, so we need to do a little bit of chazar, a little bit of review from the first parak. So what day do we lay in the Megillah, guys? This is pop quiz time. See if we remember. When does one lay in the Megillah?
14th
So what was that, Toby?
14th of Adar.
Very good. So in general, most places, a general city that's non-walled, that's most places, lain on the 14th. But who lains on the 15th?
Walled cities.
Very good. The walled cities. See, and Toby was just motzi everybody. So there we go. So the 14th is the default. 15th is for what we call, these are the krachin, these are the cities that are special walled cities. So here is the case. Ben ir shahalach lekrach. This happens, by the way. Let's say you live in Shalavim, and then you go to Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is a classic walled city from the times of Yeshua. So the question is, if I'm spending the day in Yerushalayim, do I have to lane on the 15th of Yerushalayim? And then also, you know what some people will do? They'll make sure to be in Yerushalayim on the 14th, and it'll be like an anomaled city on the 15th, and then they don't hear Megillah at all. So if you really just like really badly don't want to do the mitzvah of listening to Mikra Megillah, so there's a way around that. I don't advise it, but hey, if you're looking for a loophole, that's technically it works. So Ben Ir Shahach LeKrach, if a city dweller goes to a walled city, Uben Krach Shahach LeIr, or a walled city person goes to a regular city, which lands on the 14th, Im Asid Lachzer Limkomo, Kore Kimkomo, Vim Lav Kore Imahen. So the rule is, if he's going to plans to return back to his original place, then he lanes on the same day as where he resides. But if not, then he lanes Megillah with the place that he is currently staying in. What does that mean? How do we draw? Where's the cutoff point? The Gemara will elaborate upon that. That's the Reisha. Now for the Seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah. Mehecha and Kori Ata Misa Megillah. Separate question. Not about when do I lane, but from where do I lane? How much should Megillah have to lane? Now you might be like, oh, that's a silly question. What do you mean? You read from Vahiba Me'echa Shverosh all the way to the end of the 10th parak. So what kind of question is that? Well, for us, that's what we might call settled law. But in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it wasn't clear cut yet. So if you look in the Mishnah, we have Me'echa Kori Adabas Megillah V'yotzi V'yidei Chavaso. How much of the Megillah does one need to read to be Yotzi Chavaso? Now notice, by the way, the language. How much do I have to read to discharge my obligation? I imagine that's more or less probably how Art School translates it. And that's a lashon of bidieved. That means, ideally, lechachila, you should lay the entire Megillah. But let's say you did not lay the entire Megillah. How much is the bare minimum just to get by? So according to Rabbi Meir says, no compromises. It's all or nothing. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'ish Yehudi, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can read from Me'ish Yehudi, which is Perek Beis Pasuk Hei, chapter 2, verse 5. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar Dvarim Ha'ela, that you can actually begin from the beginning of the third chapter. And we're going to see even more extreme opinion when we get into the Gemara. So two things we just learned. One is, when does one lay in the Megillah if they find themselves elsewhere? And number two, how much of the Megillah does one need to read in order to be Yotze? Let me pause before we jump into the Gemara. Is there anything that we can clarify? And I'll let you know if the Gemara is going to clarify it or not. Okay, look, let's get into the Gemara. Here we go. So, Amar Rava. Lo shanu ela sha'asil lachzor b'leile arba asar. We only taught, let's say you're a city dweller, a non-walled city dweller, and you go to a walled city. So if you're going to return at some point during the night of the 14th back home, then you lane on the 14th, even when you're still in the city, by the way, you would lane on the 14th. And then certainly you lane on the 14th once you're back in your non-walled city. But let's say you're not going to return by the 14th. You're going to be there at the beginning of the morning of the 14th. You'll still be in the city. So then what happens is you're not going to read on the 14th. You're going to rather read on, you're going to spend the next night presumably over there. You'll lane on the 15th. So it all depends on where you are. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Im kodem amud hashachar. If it's before amud hashachar, so very quick refresher, there's a few zmanim we have to know about in the morning. Don't worry, we're not going in depth into this. There's amud hashachar. Amud hashachar is the first break of dawn. That's a crack of dawn. And then there's something called Neitz Hachama, which is a little bit later. That's kind of, and maybe it's generational. Anyone seen The Lion King? and you know, like, ah, Sapenya, and you see like the sun come up. So when the sun comes right above the horizon, that's when Netzachama is. So Rashi assumes Amud HaShachar. It's actually, it goes all the way to the Achron, and the Achron dispute, where do we draw the line for the morning? We'll go with basic shot of Rashi, that if you, it depends where you're going to be for the morning. So if I find myself in a walled city, so that on the 15th, then that's where I'm going to have to lane. If I find myself in a non-walled city on the morning of the 14th, that's where I'm going to lane. And so the chiddush is that even if it's nighttime right now, he's going to say, well, how do I determine if it's nighttime, the first Megillah reading, where I should lane? So depends what I'm planning. If I'm planning on being in a non-walled city by Amud HaShachar, so then I lean on the 14th, even for the nighttime. And if I plan on being in a walled city by Amud HaShachar, by the crack of dawn, so then I lean on the 15th. Sorry. So that's
but there's no scenario where you'd lean twice. You have to hear it twice.
So we're going to actually get to that. That's it actually could occur that you could lean twice. We're going to see with villages, actually. That's going to come up in the Gemara in a moment.
Well, we're always laning twice. I mean, we read in the morning.
But twice in the morning. In other words, if you're in the 14th in a non-walled city, you hear the Megillah, then you go to Yerushalayim that night, you wake up on the 15th, you've already heard it twice even. So, but do you have to hear it a third and fourth time?
What happens if your plans get messed up?
So very good. So it's about what you plan. Basically, you are established. I mean, this is like, there's a lot of halakhic literature on this. I began just to take a brief look, and this is like kind of the one that gets me every year. So the basic shot is that your koveya, your makom, you establish your place based on where you intend to be. So meaning you need to bring intention into this, because how do I know where I'm leaning at nighttime? Now, wherever I do lemaisa find myself in the morning, I'm going to lane according to their date. But in order to determine, should I be laning on the night of the 14th or the night of the 15th, the way I figure out whether I'm considered a non-walled city dweller or a walled city dweller is I ask myself the question, where will I find myself at the crack of dawn tomorrow morning? Will I find myself in a walled city or a non-walled city? And then I work backwards and say, well, if I'm going to be in the non-walled city, I should be laning tonight on the 14th. Or if I say, well, really, I live in a walled city and I plan on being back in that walled city before the crack of dawn, then I do not lane with the villagers, with the people in the non-walled city, even on the night of the 14th, even though I'm present there. By the way,
you could end up not laning at all. Because
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said at the beginning. You could pull off a trick. Yeah, you could pull off.
No, but I'm saying not intentionally. I'm saying you want to read Megillah, but you're sure you're going back home to your walled city on the 15th. So although I'm in the town on the 14th, I forego the laning because my plan is to be in the walled city by the 15th. And, you know, by night of the 15th and certainly also for the morning of the 15th. But now something happens, the train breaks down or whatever it is. And so I've now missed the two readings on the 14th and I'm not going to make it to the walled city on the 15th either.
Yeah. So I think in that case, it's a great question, Toby. You know, what do? You're in like a case of ones. So I think even in a case like that, we have to remember, we learned at the beginning of the first parak, that Yud Aleph through Tesvav, 11 through 15, are all legitimate days for reading. So I believe, I'll have to look this up, but it makes sense based on what we've learned, that if some reason I miss the 14th, even if I'm not going to find myself elsewhere, well, for instance, we've talked about, let's say, when Shabbos falls out on certain days. So then we've actually had that case where Shabbos falls out. So then you push it to the next day because you can't lean on Shabbos because you might carry the Megillah through Rosh Hashanah.
So as even though I'm still in the town, no, I lean on the
15th. You lean the day before.
Who am I leaning with on the 15th if I'm still in the town, if they've already all leaned?
No.
Was that Henry?
Or if you get one of those years that's Purim Meshulash, what they call in Yerushalayim, you lane on Friday, I think.
Right.
Even
right.
though it's
that is what we, yeah. Oh, yeah. Permashore. That's always like a, that's something I'm glad we don't have to figure out here. But yes, permashulich is a lot of fun, where you basically split up the mitzvahs throughout the different days. Yes, that's true, Henry. But my point is that the 15th is still a legitimate day for reading. So I can look this up and see if I'm wrong, but my sense is that if you're in an ones and you didn't land on the 14th and you're not going to wind up in a walled city, the 15th, you could still be yotzei the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. That's my understanding.
You need a minion, right?
Ah, so very, very good, Toby. So Toby, you're pointing out, we learned in the Gemara that if you're not laning in the proper time, so then you would need actually a minion for it. But even that, according to that Gemara, we saw some of the Mefarshim on there who say that even that, b'diyevet sh'b'diyevet, post facto, you'll still be yotzei in the end of the day.
But you always need a minion to lane Megillah, right? Or no?
Well, need is an interesting term. It's lecharchila because it's persume nisa. We're publicizing the miracle. Right. But in theory, one can lane the Megillah in there to themselves. If you have a kosher Megillah, we're going to talk about what a kosher Megillah is later in the Gemara. So you can lean on your own. In fact, that's kind of the assumption over here in the Gemara, because the question is, who are you? Let's say you're in a walled city, but on the 14th, and you plan on being back in a non-walled city by the crack of dawn. So you'll be leaning on the 14th in a walled city. Who are you going to hear Megillah from? You know, is there like when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have like a Chutzla Aretz minion of all the people coming in for the holidays. So like, where are you going to find that minion? The assumption is you're laning for yourself. That's the assumption here. In theory, you could hear from someone else. But you know what that brings up, by the way? We don't have time to get into this. But the Ritva and a number of other Rishonim reckon with the question in general of Lo Siskodidu. Lo Siskodidu is, this comes up most iconically on Chol HaMoed. So what do I mean? Does anyone know what I'm referring to? So Lo Siskodidu is a prohibition. Lo Sasu Agudos Agudos. One of the interpretations is you shouldn't make many Agudos. So that doesn't mean, well, actually it kind of means don't make split-offs. It means people should be acting in uniform fashion. So the question is, on Chol HaMoed, when some men are wearing tefillin, some men are not wearing tefillin, is that considered Lo Siskodidu? In that it looks like there are two Torahs. It looks like there's two different Torahs here. There's a Torah that tells you wear tefillin, one that says not to wear tefillin. So the question is, if I'm laning Megillah on the 14th in a walled city, is that a violation of Lo Siskodidu? So based on the Ritva and Yevamos and that Sugya, it might not be an issue of Lo Siskodidu, because what's Lo Siskodidu? Let me see if I can, this is a little bit secondhand, but I want to get a formulation over here that we can appreciate. Ritva says, Shlo Amr Shanir Agudas Agudas Vaturkish De Toros, what's the issue Lo Siskodidu? When it looks like there are two people who think the other one is absolutely wrong. The reason that we can, at a good Hashem, have both men wearing tefillin and not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed together at Minyan is because we know, or we think at least, there's a legitimate basis not to be wearing tefillin. And the people who don't wear tefillin know it is a legitimate basis to be wearing tefillin. So it's not like the other side thinks that the other person's violating the Torah. But if you go to some communities, you go like where I grew up, at the Agudas Yisrael there, it's easier for them because women don't come to the weekday minyanim at those shuls. So they put the tefillin wearers are put in the women's section and the non-tefillin wearers are put in the men's section. That way they can pay homage to this idea of Lo Sasu Agudos Agudos, of keeping some form of uniformity. So there's a question that the Mefarshim bring up. How can I be leaning Megillah in a walled city on the 14th? And so maybe the answer is people realize that I'm a visitor and that really I live in one of the non-walled cities, and therefore it's legitimate for me to be reading then. Okay. I don't want to delve too much further into it, but sharing that tidbit with you. Wow. Okay. Let's cover some ground in the Gemara, right? Okay. Let's see. Where did we leave off? Let's just start from the beginning of the Gemara, because I don't think we got that far in. Amar Rava. So this only applies to someone who plans on leaving on the night of the 14th from the walled city. But if he's not going to leave on the night of the 14th, he's still going to be in the walled city. Then he lanes with the walled city on the 15th. Amarava, mina amina la. Where did I come up with this rule? That's the cutoff point. That determines whether I should be laying on the 14th or 15th. Right? I might think the same. That wherever I find myself at the nighttime, that's when I should lane. It shouldn't depend on where I'm going to find myself in the future. Where did I come up with this idea that I can be considered like a resident of the city for one day as well? Diksiv, al kein ha-yehudim ha-prazos ha-yoshim ba-arei ha-prazos. So there, and so it says, and these Jews who are going to be in the prazim, places that are out. Give me a good word for it. Okay, give me the
scattered.
Scattered. Thank you. I was like, using my hand over here to try to give you the gesture for it. Thank you for the word. So the scattered places. Hayoshim ba'ari ha-prazos. Michti, ksiv ha-yehudim ha-prazim. It already says the Jews are in the scattered places. Lama li le-michtav ha-yoshvim ba'ari ha-prazos. Why is it to say the Jews who are in the scattered places in the cities which are scattered? That's superfluous. Ha-kamash malan, the superfluous use of language here comes to teach me, deparos ben yomo nikra paros, that I could actually be considered a resident of a city temporarily. Right? Maybe I would say, think about this. When we talk about what do I do when I visit Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, we generally assume I am a ben chutz la'aretz. I am a diaspora Jew. So I daven the same way everyone else is in the diaspora. I observe 2 days of Yom Tov the same way they do in the diaspora. Or I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael. I'm an Israel Jew. And therefore, even if I find myself in Chutz La'aretz in the diaspora, I follow what I would usually do in Israel. So why over here, where do we come up with this idea that I can be, a one-day paras, a one-day city dweller, one-day walled city dweller? So it comes from this extra language that teaches us the paras ben yom nikra paras. Even if I'm a walled city dweller and I just find myself in the scattered cities, in the non-walled cities for one day, for that one day, I'm considered to be a resident of the non-walled city, and I would lay on the 14th with them. Ashka paras mukminala, and how do I know the opposite, that I could be a one-day resident of a walled city? Svaruhu, me the paras ben yom akari paras mukmin yom akari mukaf. If it works one way, it should work the other way. If I could be considered a non-walled city resident for one day, then I should also be able to consider a walled city resident for one day as well. Okay, the rest of this should be relatively smooth sailing, but hopefully our heads are not spinning too much from this. Okay, moving on. Related idea. So, I'm going to complicate things just a little bit more, but it's all familiar. We've learned this before. So there's actually three categories of places. There's a walled city, a non-walled city, and then anyone remember the third category? Then there's the villages. The villages. Remember the villages?
They can read on the 11th or 12th or 13th when they come into the
city. Very good, Henry. Very good. And the Gemara is about to remind us why they could sometimes lane on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, depending on the scenario. Bama Rava. So this is a kfar. Ben kfar shahalach le'ir, ben kach u ben kach kore imahen. When a villager goes to a regular city, he will always lane on the 14th with them. My time up. Well, haik b'nei ha'ir by the mikra. He's like anyone else who needs to read from the city on the 14th. I mean, fundamentally, there's really two categories. There's walled cities and everything else. But within everything else, we split it up between regular cities and villages. Why? Rabbanu da kilu al kfarim, they sheisafgu mayim mazal lachem shebekrachin. Remember, we want to make things easier that when they come into the city, they only want to come in on Mondays and Thursdays because that's when they do business, that's when they hear Kriyas HaTorah, that's when they get their court cases adjudicated by Beis Din. So to make things easier for them, so that way they have time to be home and actually supply food for the city dwellers, The rabbi said, therefore, you can lean on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, depending on the scenario, when it falls out on Monday or Thursday, so you have that flexibility. Hani mili, but when is this applicable? Ki ise beduchte, when they're actually in the villages and need to make use of that. Alo ki ise be'ir, ki be'ir boi lemikri. But if he finds himself in the city, he would still need to read as well, even on the 14th. And you know what's remarkable about this? What this seems to assume, I mean, we could get more into the Mefarshim, but I think Pshat is that even if he heard laning on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, he would be obligated to do so again with the city dwellers. But I think there's also, if I have to look back into it, I believe there's Mefarshim to say, this is only if he's planning ahead of time, but I think Pshat actually is that he would have to hear Megillah laning again with the on the 14th with the city. Okay. Isve Abaye. So Abaye brings a brisa as a contradiction. It says in the brisa, ben krach shahalach le'ir, ben kachu ben kach korikim komo. So according to the text of the brisa Abaye cites, it says a walled city dweller who finds himself in a non-walled city always reads on the 15th where he's from. Now, we interject for a moment. Ben krach saka daitach, ben masalach or tolya milsa. It can't be, the text of this brisa has to be inaccurate because that doesn't make any sense. We just explained that that it doesn't matter where you're from. It matters where you'll be on the morning, in the morning. So rather, elav ben kfar, rather the text of the brisa should read as follows. A ben kfar, a villager who goes to a city will always read when the villagers read, not when the city dwellers, not when the city dwellers read, which is a contradiction because Rava just taught us that he has to lay on the 14th with the villagers. But Abaye cites a brisa which contradicts Rava. But does it really? Because Rava responds, Vlav Terusi Mitaretz, Tani Korei Mahen. Once you're playing around with the gears of the brisa, once you're willing to change around the words, why do you change it around in your favor? Change it around in my favor. Alternate text to read at the end that even if it's a ben kfar, kobra imahen, he reads with the city dwellers, not with the villagers. So, I mean, it's just like a very instructive Gemara because once you want to start playing around and saying that the text you have in front of you has inaccuracies, if you're willing to do so without any real basis for it, what's to stop the next guy from also saying, oh, well, there's something I don't like in there, so I'm going to claim that the text is inaccurate. So, and it becomes ailent of her soap. So we can't just play around and change gear sos as we please. There needs to be, you know, find me an alternative manuscript that proves that there's a different gear so. Then we could talk about it. Okay, good. Whew, deep breath. That's it. We're done with the first part of the Mishnah. We're done talking about the timing of laning. Now it's actually a straight shot. So here we go. Me'echa kori adamis Megillah. From where does one lane the Megillah? We had three opinions in the Mishnah. Now there's a Bryce that'll give us a fourth opinion. Tanya, Rashim Rechai Omer, Mibalaila Hahu. That one can start all the way from Mibalaila Hahu, which is the beginning of the sixth. Perek, all the way from the sixth perek, over halfway through the Megillah, you could already begin. Okay, guys, is this arbitrary, right? So one says from the beginning, one says the fifth pasuk in the second perek, one says the third perek, one says the sixth perek. I don't know, why don't I just throw my hat into the ring and come up with something? So what's the logic behind these different points to start the Megillah? So we're going to have two elucidations of what the Svara is. Amar Yochanan, Ukula Mikra Echadarshu. Actually, this is just a great example of where four different people could look at the same thing and come with four different conclusions. They're all looking at the same pasuk, but they all come up with something else from that pasuk. So, Batik Tov Esther Hamalka Mordechai Yehudi is Kol HaTokef. So, Esther. Oh, hello?
Hi.
7:50 in the chapel.
7:15.
5:0. Welcome. Yes. Okay. But Tiktov Esther Hamalka Mordechai Yehudi Eskol Tokef. So Esther and Mordechai, they wrote all the tokefs, like all the, I guess you call it like the primary part of the Megillah. The what's a, you know, give me the official arts world term for tokef. What do they use for it? That's the officially certified term for it.
It doesn't seem to, all the acts of power.
Oh, interesting. Like, yeah, well, you know, Nisana Tokev. Think about that. It's the same word, right? Nisana Tokev. I'll relate over the, you know, the powerful potency of the day. So, okay. So what is considered to be, meaning what's considered to be the Iker? What's like the powerful aspects of it? Mad Amar Kula Tokfu Shalach HaShverish. So some say that the, and this is actually very interesting. I'm not a big, as you know, I don't give a lot of Tanakh Shirim, but, you know, an interesting question to ask is, who are like the main characters in the Megillah? Who is the main focus of the storyline? So what, who are we trying to show, whose story are we trying to show here? So Ma'adar Akul Tofu Shach HaShverosh. One says, so the one who says Kula, it's referring to Achashverosh. So why? Because it starts off by he being Achashverosh, and it was in the days of Achashverosh. So it's very, so we need to start from the beginning of the Megillah to get the full story of Achashverosh as it's pertinent to Purim. Ma'adar Me'ish Yehudi Tofu Shal Mordechai. And the one who says you can start from the pasuk of Ish Yehudi when it introduces us to the character of Mordechai, since Mordechai is the main person here, therefore we start from his introduction into the Megillah. Umad Amar Me'akar Hadvarim Ha'ele Tokvo Shel Haman. So according to the Mother, it says we start from Me'akar Hadvarim Ha'ele. We start from there because that's when Haman gets introduced to us, even though we have Memuchan earlier. We learned that previously. And then the final opinion is Madamar Miba Laila Hahu Tokvo Shel Nace. And according to the Madamar, who says we can start all the way from the sixth parak, that's when the real miracle began. Because that's when Achashverosh wakes up in the middle of the night. And that's where everything starts turning around for the Jews. So
nobody suggests that it's Esther?
Oh, interesting.
That the prime moving character
is
Esther?
Well, okay, maybe main character was the wrong framework. So
he named the book after her.
Well, she was one of the authors, you know.
She could put her
name on it. notice how Mordechai and Esther write it, but it gets Esther's name. It doesn't get Mordechai on there.
So, I'll bet I know who did more of the work.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, usually what happens is, like, you know, in the business world, they don't give the women the credit. So this is affirmative action here. Here, Mordechai doesn't get the credit. So, you know, I'm sure someone's happy about that. Okay. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. So that's one suggestion. We're going to give another suggestion as to how these four different Tanaim came up with how much of the Megillah you need to read. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Just how are we doing on timing? Okay, we're cutting it close. Rav Huna, so I'm going to do a straight shot from here, and I'll pause for questions at the end. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, Umaro Al Kacho Mahigia Aleim. They got it from this pasuk. What happened? You know, so Umaro, what did he see, or what occurred, and on what matter, and what happened to them? So let's explain what that means. Ma'adamar Kula, according to Ma'adamar, you have to read from all the way from the beginning of the Megillah. Mara Achashverosh Chenishnamish Bekalim Shel Beis HaMikdash. Why did Achashverosh, what did he see that he wanted to use the vessels from the temple? Al Kacha Mishum Dechash Hashem Vishniv Lo Ifruk, because he saw 70 years past and the Jews were not redeemed. Umahi Gialehem, and what happened to them? The Katal Vashti, as a result, what occurred? That Vashti got killed. Umadar Mishihudi, Madar says you could start reading from Mordechai's introduction. Mara of Mordechai, the pasuk is telling us what is the main story of the Megillah. What did Mordechai see to Ikni Bahama, that he was zealous against Haman? Al Kacha, on the following matter, the Shavi Nashi Abodazara, that Haman went around and he turned himself into a deity that everyone had to worship. Umayigi Alehem, and what occurred as a result? The Sirachish Nisa, the miracle of the Megillah, as we see. Mordechai gets put on the horse and Haman leads him through the streets, etc. Umadar Mechad from Ha'eleh, And among the Amar who says that we can start from Me'achar Dvarim Ha'ele, from the introduction of Haman, Mara Haman Shiniskane B'chol Yehudim, why did Haman despise the Yehudim so much? Because Mordechai would not bow down and submit himself to him. And what happens as a result to Haman? He and his sons get hanged on the tree. Fourth opinion, according to Mandamur, says that you can start from the beginning of the sixth parak. Mara Achashverosh Why did Achashverosh see fit to bring out his book of Chronicles? Alkacha Dizimnise Esther Lahaman Bade, because Esther kept inviting Haman to Sudas, and he thought they were conspiring. And what happens as a result? This Rakish Nisa, that of course the miracle takes place. Okay. Now, great. We have four opinions. How do we paskin? I think many of us know how we paskin because you see what we do every year. But just in case, if you don't know, now you know. Arachelba Amarav Kama Barguria Amarav. Halacha Kedivre Ha Omer Kula. One needs to read the entire Megillah. We saw this in the past. It was quoted earlier. And even according to Amar, who says that you don't need to read the entire Megillah, you still have to have an entire Megillah written in front of you. It has to be ra'oi for you to read the entire thing from it. So it has a status as a Megillah. That's the end of that piece in the Gemara. I guess very briefly, is there anything unclear that I can clarify before we go on? Okay. Now, we're just going to end off with some fun facts about how to write a Megillah. Bar Achelba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria. We're bringing our good friend, Amar Achelba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, once more. Amar Rav, name of Rav. Megillah Nikreis Sefer V'Nikreis Igaris. If you look in the Megillah, it's referred to as a book and as a letter. So, Lamai Nafkamina, what's that going to teach us? Nikrei Sefer Shem Tafer Bechute Pishtam Psula. It's referred to as a book in the sense like a Sefer Torah. It needs to be sewn not with linen, but with sinews, with gidin. Nikreis Igeres Shem Hitil Bashlosha Chute Gidin Kishera. But it's also considered Igeres. It doesn't have the same restrictions on being sown as much as a Torah. It only needs to be done as long as it is done in three different places and equidistant. What does that mean? Very briefly, the Masifta Gemara here actually has a nice diagram. I don't know if you could see it well, but it shows you how it's kind of toward the middle. They are equidistant from each other, and it covers a sufficient amount of the page. Okay, if anyone wants a photo, I can send it to you later. Actually, what's the official art school term for Mishulashin? What do they put in it? Yeah, okay, I'm not going to trouble you guys. It's fine. It's fine. Okay, let's
trisected.
What was that?
Trisected.
I like that term, trisected. Okay. This is why I always ask you for like the officially certified term of art scroll. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. This is also very this is a very widely cited Gemara here when it comes to the Lamdas. Hakori b'Megillah Aksu b'Ena Ksuvim Lo Yatsa. Let's say, instead of writing the Megillah as a standalone sefer, you have, you have a whole scroll that contains all of Nach in it. And so, you're printing out all of Nach, or let's say, make it easier, as the Chamesh Megillos, as all five Megillos in there. So if you do that, if it's Esther, it's not, it's standalone safer, then it's not legitimate. Amar Rava, lo amar el dlo mechasu miyasa porta, mechasu miyasa porta leislamba. However, if there's something distinct about the parchment of Megillus Esther in there, it's a little shorter, a little taller than the other parchment that it's connected to, so that one can see that it's its own independent, distinct sefer, then you can read from it. Final part of the Gemara. Let's just wrap this up. Levi Bar Shmuel Havaka Kari Kamei Rav Yehuda. the Megillah, turning to page, Aksuva bein haksuvim, Amar lei, Hari Amar akord Megillah aksuva bein suvim lo yatsa. It seems that is indeed the accepted halacha, that one has to read from an independent Megillas Esther, which, you know, that's what we all have. Finally, Amar Rechia Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Kor Ben Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuvim Lo Yatsa Ba V'Chayv La Mocha. He, you know, hit back on what he said earlier. But Sibor Shanu, when do we say that you have to have your own separate Megillah? When you're reading it in a congregation, so it's clear to everyone that it's its own distinct sefer. But if you're reading for yourself at home, because remember, as we learned, in theory, you can be yotze reading Megillah on your own, so then, b'dieved, you'll be yotze with the Megillah, even if it's part of a larger sefer. But nonetheless, it still needs to be written on a cloth with the ink. It has to be sewn the proper way with Gidin, as we've seen earlier. And that brings us to the end of our Gemara for today. I could stay on for literally two more minutes, and then I have to dash to Mincha. So any questions from what we just did? Okay. Well, I'm glad that was clear enough. And it seems we're out of time, and we can't address the question of banging during Haman, if the rabbi has the power to exclude anyone who bangs during Haman. If we don't get to it this week or next week, then God willing, we'll get to it. Purim time, because I already decided what my topic is going to be for this coming Purim. Last time was cross-dressing. This time it'll be banging during Haman, which has been on my agenda for a few years now, but I never got around to it because other things came to mind. So I think I'm finally going to get to that one. All right. So shkoach, everyone. We have something to look forward to. Oh, just a reminder, again, I'm on vacation next week. I'm hoping that I'll be somewhere stable where I have internet, etc., and I can actually teach this year, but assume by default it's not meeting unless you see an email on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, letting you know that I'm able to teach it, okay? But I hope I can. I just don't want to disappoint you if it doesn't happen. All right. Take care, everyone. Have a good night and a good Shabbos to all.
Okay, thank you.